Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first teleclass of 2011. Today is January 18, 2011, and we're in the first month, and I'm excited about this year. I want to thank everyone for their patience. I got the flu the first day of the year, actually New Year's evening, and I had to push the first teleclass back. So I appreciate it. Everyone just accommodating the change, and I appreciate everyone who is able to make the call and those who will be able to download it later. But as usual, I'd like to start off just with a short, gathering of our energies together. So if you're someplace where you can, just close your eyes. If not, just get quiet. And all I want you to do is just to become aware of your breathing. You don't have to make any effort to breathe or do anything with the breath. I just want you to notice that you are breathing, and your breathing is happening without any real sort of effort on our part. It's just happening. And there is something that is monitoring our breathing that's determining the pace of it, depending on what's going on. And I want you to just notice that. Just become aware of the breath, and it's going in, and it's going out, and it has a rhythm, and that rhythm is being determined and controlled, really not by our conscious self. I mean, when we become aware of it, and we can consciously control it, but generally, when we're not thinking about it, we're not thinking about our breath. It's just happening. And have you ever wondered, what is breathing us? And so just for these few minutes, I just want you to just feel that and feel how soothing it is to breathe, to have the breath flowing in and out. And just be aware that there's something larger, something powerful, intelligent. It's an intelligence. It's actually operating. It's operating in our physical bodies and its functions. It's the same intelligence that's having the earth spin and the sun shining every day. It's the whatever this unnameable force or intelligence that is life itself and awareness itself. It's awareness, and it's actually doing life. Life is, and this awareness, this power, this unnameable something is doing it all. And when we sink into that, we can relax. We can just relax. Even for a little while, just relax. And allow ourselves to just be guided by this awareness. To live in alignment with this awareness. And we have the good fortune to be able to take the time out in our day to stop and become aware. And for this, we say thank you. And thank you to this intelligence, this awareness that is breathing through us. And so it is, and just bringing your attention back to the call, to the class. And today's topic is life is a mystery. And what we just did, you could say, is a mystery in itself, that there is something breathing us. Many times we don't think about that just because it's just part of, it's such a natural part of our existence, our life, the breath. and it's happening all the time, whether we're conscious of it or not. But really, it's a mystery. What is this? What is this awareness that's breathing us? Or how is this happening? How is our body just functioning automatically on its own? I mean, that is a mystery. Actually, this whole existence is—it's a mystery. And I'm just going to go through some mysteries that we just really, I think, don't think about. Okay, it's as if we just live our lives as if we know everything, as if there's nothing mysterious about anything, and as if, oh, okay, all we need to do is get up or we're born and, you know, we're raised and then we go out and we have to find a way to make a living. And, I mean, that becomes our sort of focus, and we lose track of the mysterious nature of all of this, the mysterious nature of existence itself, and the mysterious nature of just who we are. So we can start by looking all around us. If we look at the universe, and I'm calling the stars the galaxies, it's really too immense to even imagine, and it's infinitely mysterious. Okay, when they launched the Hubble telescope into space, and, you know, soon after the Hubble telescope was out into space, they decided to take a pinprick of the night sky, you know, just like we decided, okay, it's dark out there, and to the human eye or to what we were looking at, it just looks like a dark sky. And it seemed like there's nothing in it. But anyway, they just took a pinprick of that sky. And then they focused it using the Hubble. And they discovered in just a pinprick, of which they thought there was nothing, there were 14 galaxies. And within each galaxy, there were billions of stars. Now, wow, how mysterious is that? I mean, and how amazing is that? Here to the human eye, it looks like, oh, it's just dark nothingness, but actually there's so much going on. It's teeming with life, okay? And with Hubble and with other, you know, new technical advances, they've been able to really discover so much about this existence and this sort of universe that we live in. You know, they've been able to see the cycles of stars, been able to see the birth and the death of stars. They've been able to examine black holes and to see more with more clarity what they are and how they operate, and exploding stars, and they're really determining that cosmic expansion is accelerating. That means the expansion of the universe is accelerating, okay? And it's just all these wonderful discoveries. And I'm just thinking, you know, before when they thought the Earth was flat, I mean, because it was like they didn't have any other information. And so a lot of times this is what happens. We don't have any other information, and so we make conclusions based on the information we have. And we've seen time and time again that, you know, these conclusions that we make really are limited to, you know, the whatever we can see in front of us. And what we can see in front of us is such a small fraction of what's actually going on. So are you beginning to kind of like just feel into just the mystery of life itself? And it's just infinitely mysterious. And I have no doubt that, I don't know, 100 years from now, what will be discovered will be mind-boggling to, you know, to the information that we have today. And even if you look at the Earth and you just see what a magnificent and glorious and mysterious, you know, place this is, you know, this round ball, you know, that's spinning on its axis and spinning around a gravitational pull of this big, big sun, and just even what's here on Earth, you know, the wonders of the world, the natural wonders of the world, the Great Barrier Reef, Mount Everest, the Grand Canyon, Victoria Falls, Aurora Borealis, I mean, all of these wonderful things, which I have not been to, by the way, and it's one of my, you know, sort of desires in life to go to some of these places and just to see them. And these are natural wonders that probably have been carved out over, you know, billions of years. And, I mean, and everything is always constantly changing anyway, okay? And then there are other mysteries, you know, unsolved mysteries. You know, we try to explain them, but we really don't know. I mean, they're the pyramids. I mean, you know, they've been trying to figure out, you know, how they got here, you know, for a long time. There are many different theories, and they're crop circles. And, you know, they have three theories about that, Stonehenge, you know, UFO sightings. I mean, it's just teeming with mystery, okay? And also, too, just the biosphere, you know, how it all works together and fits together, and how if one thing changes and it changes the rhythm and the biosphere, and then just all of the forms of life that are here, you know, from the human beings to the many insects to the reptiles to the mammals, I mean, and just the variety of species of animals and the variety of species of plants and trees and flowers and it's just magnificent. I remember I went to Portland, Oregon, and then there was a rose garden there. It's just this garden with just roses. And I went there, and I practically gorged myself on the fragrance of roses because you go there, and they have, like, a description, a name of each type of rose, a description of it. And then I just, and I love the smell of roses, and I just wanted to, like, see if I could, just, you know, to experience the distinct fragrance of each rose. I mean, by the end of it, well, I didn't get through everything because I was just so saturated with the different fragrances. But so just imagine that. Just one flower and so many different types of roses that probably have been crossbred with maybe other, you know, plants or something like that. But just the variety of the colors. And then the differences in the fragrance. I mean, it's just, I mean, we could go on and on. And part of my point of this topic is that we can get so lost in our stories about our life and that we just completely miss all of this that's going around us. We miss that this is a mystery and that there's a mystery, there's a doorway. That if we really stop at times to remember, oh, wow, wait a minute, but this whole thing is a mystery, and we really, really don't know, you know, to 100% what's really going on and what's really going to happen. And that's what's going to happen, you know, in our society and what's going to happen on an individual lives and what's going to happen, you know, on a universal galactic level. And then if you even look at the human body, you know, as I alluded to about the breathing and the functions, you know, our systems are moving, the blood is circulating, so the heart is beating, and these are all being regulated by something bigger than us. I mean, if you were to try to examine the body, you know, I mean, yeah, you could say, okay, well, the heart's doing this, and the capillaries are, you know, flowing blood, and the arteries are doing this, and the heart is pumping. But what is actually telling it to pump at the rate that it's pumping? Anyway, it's just so mysterious. And I don't know if anybody never seen a baby being born, but I'm telling you, I actually filmed a birth for a friend of mine. It was the only time I saw a baby being born. And it was just, I just thought it was just the most miraculous thing. I mean, it's because I'd never seen one before and I haven't seen one since, but I just thought the moment when that baby, you know, entered into the room, I felt like, you know, it was like ecstasy. I mean, the feeling of it, I mean, just to it was, I don't know what I was experiencing, but I just knew. I knew it was a miracle, and I knew it was amazing. And I just, best thing I could say, it was like ecstasy. It was just, and I knew in that moment, you know, this whole human experience, it's a miracle and it's a mystery. Because who could explain the mystery? It's seemingly coming out of this body, but I knew it was just, it was supernatural. I knew, I could feel the supernaturalness of the soul and the energy that of that moment, okay? And even when we leave this body, I mean, I don't really know because I can't say, I mean, I haven't had that experience and I haven't had a near-death experience, but it must be, you know, something, I mean, it must be for the individual who is transitioning, it just must be just another beautiful mystery. And even the uniqueness of fingerprints and snowflakes, and so it's such a variety, but all this uniqueness that's going on, okay? And then when we have dreams at night, And if you think about, I don't know if you remember your dreams, but I dream quite a bit. And I can remember my dreams when I first wake up, but I know that in dreams, I'm often in other worlds. Okay, I'm in different times, I'm in different places. What accounts for this? You know, I've had dreams where I'm flying. What accounts for these things? And then I'm witnessing the dream. It's like I'm in the dream, but I'm also witnessing the dream. This is some mysterious, strange stuff that's going on. And we live life as if there's nothing mysterious about it. As if, oh, well, I just guess I got to get up again today and go to work or do whatever I'm going to do and just, you know, handle just whatever my business is in front of. And that's all good. And I'm saying yes because we're here to be human beings. And if you look at, there's two words, human and being. And so there's the human part, yeah, the part that has to be fit, you know, the body needs to be nourished, you know, physically with food and water, and it needs to be nourished emotionally with friends and loved ones and family. And we're here to grow and expand, and we're here to contribute in whatever ways we are. We're here to enjoy the physical sensations of walking and riding on roller coasters and dancing and listening to music and dancing to music, kissing and all these things that, you know, make us human. But we often forget the second word, the being part. We're a human being. What's the being? It's the being part. There is something, that awareness, that being, that's eternal and timeless, that when the body goes, there's still this beingness. We will always exist. And so I am saying, let us also remember, yes, we're here to have this human experience, but let us also remember that we're this being and we're a spiritual being having the human experience, and this beingness is so mysterious, this awareness, this life. This whole thing is so mysterious, and I am suggesting that when we get so caught up in the material human aspect of life, which is beautiful, beautiful, and we're here to do that. But when we get caught into it to the exclusion of we forget that we're also this being, we can get a little bit off kilter. We can get a little bit off balance. And when we just remember, oh, wait a minute, there's this, life is a mystery. I am a mystery. I'm a paradox. I'm human and I'm being. I mean, I am both. And when I get too far off either one way, I can get a little lost. But when I get too just immersed in my stories and my, quote, problems and my thinking, if I could just stop and just, wait a minute, become aware of my breathing. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, and stop. And that gets us immediately back in touch with, oh, there's something bigger here. I am something bigger. Oh, there's the beingness aspect of life, of me. I'm this human and I'm this being, this spiritual being, and this awareness is really, it's a timeless, eternal awareness. It's really also who I am eternally. And when I just stop to remember that, and the good way to do that is just to stop and become aware that I'm breathing. And there's something breathing me, the being, this, my eternal, timeless being is breathing me. Oh, I'm that too. And in fact, that is the actual eternal aspect of me. And in that is a doorway, a gateway in the mystery. It's all mystery. And I'm reminded, oh, I am this mystery, this paradox. And life is this mystery. And when I think I know from what my thoughts are telling me, when I think I know I'm just putting myself in a box. And so I just become aware of my breathing. And remember, my nature is also this timeless, eternal being and this awareness that is guiding life itself. And then I can actually navigate these human, you know, situations because I've got this intelligence that's giving me impulses and urges, moving me forward and saying, going here and go there, or just giving me the answer to something. Just, it's plop, there it is. So life is a mystery, and when we remember life is a mystery, it can help us. It can be a doorway into bringing ourselves into this balance, to be living more fully as a human being, a human being. Okay, so that's the topic for today, and I hope that this topic will be helpful. Now we're going to go into the cards, science of the cards, and then I'll be giving readings. But today, I want to go over today. Today is January 18th, 2011, and today, if you were born today, a nine of diamonds birth card and a four of hearts ruling card. Okay, a nine is a universal number. It's one of the spiritual numbers. Seven and nine are spiritual numbers. And a nine means that you're here to really complete something and graduate. You're really here to give universally. And you see, a lot of politicians are nines. Like Barack Obama's a nine of diamonds. Hillary Clinton's a nine of hearts. And so they're here to give universally. And so for a nine of diamonds, giving is what this card is all about. And since it's diamonds, it's value. So it's giving value to others, okay? So giving is a natural theme to a nine of diamonds, okay? And they will naturally gravitate towards helping other people, and some will become counselors and healers and also politicians because they're giving on a large scale. And among the gifts of the nine of diamonds is they're highly intelligent. Probably because they have a king of clubs and two of clubs in their life spread. And they make good salespeople as well. And family is important to them, but they are most fulfilled when they find a special mission in life that they can give universally to others, as I said. Now, this is a person would also have a four of hearts ruling card, so that would sort of add to this person someone who values family very, very highly. Okay, so four hearts is the marriage card, it's the family card, and it's the relationship card. But this card is about people, they hold family and close ones very close to them. They hold it very dear to them. It's a card of stability, so it's a card of, like I said, family and marriage, okay? And they have a great sense of solidness and a great sense of values, and it's one of the most stable cards in the deck, okay? And someone with this ruling card, they would actually be good marriage material, okay? But they could also be idealistic in love. And four of hearts also have to be careful of their health because of some two of spades in their life path. So that's something about someone who was born today. And three new people on the card, you know, the card system is an ancient system said to date back to Atlantis, and it's basically a symbol or an archetype for your birth. You know, the day you were born, there's a certain card that governs that day. And if I know your birthday, basically, I can tell you a bit about you, just like I was able to tell, like, someone who was born today, just some general patterns of their birth card as well as their planetary ruling card. And also, in addition to sort of having a better understanding of yourself, the system also there's a way to view the cards that reveal destinies of anyone, you know, destinies of anyone. And basically it's not that the cards are randomly shuffling. Like, I don't use cards. This is a system that is calculated. So I'm not randomly shuffling cards or guessing their meanings. I'm not using psychic ability or intuition. I just think I am naturally intuitive. I think we all are. But basically the system is created by using a complex metaphysical science that's called quadration. It's mathematically calculated out, and cards are put into what's called grand solar spreads, and they're calculated that way for each year of our life. And there's a way to read these spreads that can tell you there's certain cards that appear for every year of your life, and if you know how to read these cards, you can understand what kind of energies will be there present for you that year. And there's a way in which if you learn them, you can just harmonize your energy to it. It's sort of like learning how to go with the current of life as opposed to flowing against it. It just makes life a lot more easier, and it's like, you know, just being able to go with the current. You know, when you ride with the current, it's a lot easier. You don't have to work as hard. I mean, you're not pushing, but when you fight against the current, it's almost nearly impossible. Or I should just say it's just a lot more work. So learning how to harmonize ourselves and harness the energies of the energies that are present is just really a helpful way to kind of approach life. Okay, so that's just a little bit about the cards, and I know there's some people on the line who would like some reading, so I'm going to unmute the call, and let's see, we have about 30 minutes, and so I'm going to unmute, and if you like a reading, let me know. Okay, hold on 1 second. Hello, who would like a reading?
Susan.
Sabina.
Renee.
Hey, okay, I heard Susan. And who was the second person?
Rabina and Renee.
Christina. Okay, all right, so three. Okay, so I'm going to, okay, so we got 30 minutes. So I guess I'll try to spend 10 minutes with each person, and I'll start with Susan first. And Susan, and so what I'm going to do is ask if you have a question, like a that you're would like some information about, I think that's the best way to approach it, because then that will narrow it down. Okay, so Susan, what's your question?
My question is about work and my work in the world and how to focus it, and whether I'm better off focusing it in the film and television arena or in my healing work. Or do I need to go back to school and get more training and something?
Okay, give me your birthday again.
9/6/58.
Okay. Okay, so for those who are studying the cards, Susan is a 5 of diamonds. Birth card and a Queen of Spades ruling card, okay? September 6th, okay, and she is 52 years old. And so for those who have the book and maybe ring along, you can look it up in the book for the, I'm looking at in her, both her birth and her ruling, the 5 of diamonds and the Queen of Spades to get the information, okay? And you are, in your, there's 7 periods of the year, and mm-hmm. as well as year-long cards that affect the entire year. And I'm going to look at your cards for the period that you're in. Right now you're in your Mars period, which is actually a good period for work.
Mm-hmm.
So because Mars is energy and it's work, and so that and Jupiter is actually the best period for money-making. So, and you'll be in Jupiter February 10th, and that ends April 10th. So from now to April, I think would be a really good time to really push ahead with whatever you want to push ahead with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in March you have a Nine of Hearts. I'm going to look at your cards for this. Well, this is definitely a transition year for you, because you got an Ace of Spades, Pluto, which is one of the cards that rules the entire year. And you got a lot. You got quite a few nines, and you got a Nine of Clubs long range here. And Nine of Clubs is usually a completion of some kind, but it also could be school. It also could be graduation, and it also could be giving information away. And since you have a Nine of Clubs in Jupiter, you have a Nine of Hearts now. With the underlying 7, and a Nine of Clubs coming up in Jupiter, and a Nine of Clubs long range. So this all, to me, indicates you giving in some way, giving information, giving knowledge. And Nine of Hearts is about giving love in some kind of way, like
mm-hmm.
Universal love. So you mentioned the healing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I were just to look at this, I would think maybe, you know, the healing. Because
mm-hmm.
that would be a place where you would be giving a lot, you know, counseling
right.
and giving things on a universal level.
Yep.
What's the school situation? What are you thinking about going back to school for?
Well, I just I'm a shamanic healer, and so far the practice is really hasn't built very much, and I don't have a lot of clients right now.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm wondering how I'm going to be able to support myself doing that, and wondering whether I should go back and get a, you know, some sort of licensing in psychology or nutrition or something that's a little more traditional, where people feel like they're going to someone who's licensed and, you know, legitimized in a different way.
Well, I'm looking at your, also, when I look at your Queen of Spades ruling card, you have a Three of Spades right now, and that's actually working two jobs or doing more than one thing. So I see that, you know, and then you have a Ten of Spades environment, that's a work project, that's doing a lot of different projects. Then your result card is a Ten of Hearts, that's audiences. So, you know, I think, but there's a four space clue, so that indicates it's really just plugging away. You understand what I'm saying? It's really just doing putting one step in front of the other and continuing to do what you're doing now. And just, and so you're displacing the Six of Clubs, which is, it's really kind of finding out what you're here to do. It's a card of, and when you displace that, you actually, it's good, actually good for your career. But I think you're in Mars, and so that's still, it's not the, you haven't even reached halfway through your year. And so I would say just keep doing what you're doing and maybe find some other things to do to promote yourself. I don't know that school, going back to school or necessarily getting the license is, I mean, I don't know how long that would take. And I don't know, is your heart really in that?
No, well, not really. I'd just be doing it to, you know, for a measure of kind of safety to legitimize myself more, you know. Since shamanic work is not really in the mainstream, and people don't, you know, if you don't have a PhD or something after your name, often people don't really think you have a lot to share, or you don't, you know, respect it a certain way. So I was just, my heart, I don't really want to go back to school. I would just do it, you know, to, you know, sort of give myself something to have that would legitimize me in the future.
Well, is there something else that you could do that is, you know, like maybe a program that maybe is not full-on school, but maybe something, you know, I mean, I know that there are are there any shamanic schools?
Yeah, but I've been through that. I've already been through, I'm certified, I'm, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe also two nines, also letting go of ways of thinking. Because a nine of clubs is, like I said, a nine is, it's a, it, see, nines are funny. I mean, it's an ending of something, but it could be an ending of an old way of thinking. It's an ending of, but also too, it's giving something away. So, but it's not, it's, and you've got this nine of clubs long range and a nine of clubs in Jupiter. So it seems like it's letting go of some ways of thinking. I mean, I understand what you're saying, you know, about wanting to legitimize yourself and how it can be a little discouraging trying to get clients and trying to build an audience. But, and so, I mean, you know, because I go through that myself, and what I'm doing is not very traditional either. And I think that there's, but what I notice is that there are ways of thinking and beliefs, you know, of the, believing in the culture and in the mainstream that maybe not serving you right now. And I mean, you might want to take a look at those ways of thinking. Might be also to contributing to holding you back in some way. Like there's a way of thinking, well, people won't be interested because it's different, it's weird, or with whatever the thoughts,
may be.
I would go there first, and then kind of realign myself with, okay, well, how can I get my message out, you know? Who's my target audience? How can I get my message out? Because that, it seems to me, that is what your challenge is. Challenge is to really, and by the end of this, your year, so by the end of next, well, this September, audiences, you should have audiences, okay? And you will have them. And I think money will be okay because you got an eight of diamonds in Jupiter. Well, you got a ten of diamonds underlying your three of spades now and an eight of diamonds underlying your Jupiter in the next period. So I think the money will be there. And you've got a four of diamonds in Saturn, which is the hardest part of the year, with a King of Spades, you have the you have the ability and the wherewithal to do this. You just have to set your mind to doing it and not let anything stop you. You have to believe so much in what you're doing that you know that there are people out there who would benefit from what you have to offer.
Right.
That's where I would go with it. You know, the school and everything. I mean, it's not something that your heart's in. You don't want to do it. And it would just set your energy, I think, to a place that it's just not going to be really conducive for you.
Yeah.
But it's really, I think those nines are about really you letting go of these, looking at what beliefs that may be holding you back and just adopting some new beliefs about that. Okay. And you've got a couple sixes here, and you got a six of spades result in your birth. So that's really it's karma, but it's also, you know, discovering your life's work. And you've got two sixes in prominent positions, and so I would say is, you know, really getting in touch with what is your life's work. I mean, what do you feel your life's work is? Do you know yet?
Well, I feel like my life's work is about healing and transformation through storytelling and through, you know, one-on-one work and through teaching, you know, exactly the form. I mean, I've always been drawn to film and television business, and I feel like when I work with people, I am in a good flow, and that feels like it's a divine expression of who I am to do the healing work. I don't know how they all come together yet. I mean, I feel like there's several different ways that I could express myself. I'm, you know, very interested in helping women discover their divine purpose and their feminine power and how that has expressed in their lives. So I guess because that's a journey I'm on myself. So I like teaching that, and I am still in the feminine power coaching training program as well. So that feels in alignment with my life purpose.
Okay, well, that's good. There's some clarity on that. So I think that, I think it's continuing to do what you're doing and just continuing to check in with yourself and see, because with these sixes, what will happen is if you just be open to receiving guidance around that, you'll start to get some more clarity maybe in terms of the venues for it. But I think that that's actually going to be happening for the rest of your life, the different ways that you could possibly express it. You do have a Queen of Hearts, long range, and your other, so that's women and motherhood and that kind of thing. So if you have some ideas about that, I would pursue that right now, this year. Like if you have some ideas about how to, like, incorporate the shamanic into that, whether it's with the feminine power or whether it's with working with women, I would do that because that energy is here that year. I mean, here this year. And I think actually combining storytelling and everything with film and television is a good idea, too. I think that there are many different ways in which there is to express it, and your three of spades shows that you're going to be doing it in more than one way. Okay, so what I can see is really getting clear about, you know, what you're really here to do, which it sounds like the healing and transformation, and then really looking at whatever beliefs that may be limiting that and limiting your ways that you can express that and actually be able to make money. And you don't even know how money can come to you. That's another thing, Susan. Money doesn't have to come through your work. I mean, I think we have these ideas in our head about how things should happen.
Right.
You don't know how money can come to you. None of us really do, but I mean, we limit it because we kind of have an idea about it that we put it in a box.
Right.
So just be open to that you'll be supported to do what you want to do, to live the life you want to live, and to serve in the way that you want to serve. That's what I would do. And then I would just put one foot in front of the other in terms of what I'm guided to do with the healing and the transformation work.
Okay? That sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. It's very supportive.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to move on to Christina. Is that right? Hello? Is Christina on the line? Hello? Is anyone there?
Marissa, I think you misunderstood. It was Rabina and Renee.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rabina. Okay. I'm sorry, Rabina. Okay. What's your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to, planning for the year. Like, I have two focuses this year, and I wanted to just, see if I'm right on track. So my two focuses is working on my my doctorate and, being in a committed relationship by the end of the year.
Okay, doctorate, so schooled and love. Okay. And you're 127. How old are you?
43.
How old will you be? Because you got a birthday coming up.
I guess I'll be 44. Wow, I'm getting old.
No, honey.
I'm sorry, I'm getting young.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. I love getting older. Not older. I don't know. I just feel like I know more or I learn more. I have more experience. Okay, so anyway, let me look real quick. So for those of you who are following along, Ravina is a King of Clubs. Birth card, and she has a Six of Clubs ruling card. She's a double club, so schooling is no surprise because clubs love to learn. They love to be in school, and they're always, wanting to learn the next thing. That's a club, dealing with the mind and thoughts and things like that. Okay, the King of Clubs, great people, King of Clubs. A king is a leader. Okay, so let me see. So you'll be 44. I'm going to look in your year coming up, since that's happening in about a week. I don't see a lot of relationship cards in the Six of Clubs spread, but let me look in the King. I see a lot of diamonds and spades. Work and money. This year is a lot of, but you do have some underlying hard cards. Okay. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting year for you. Wow. Are you interested in doing a partnership with anybody? Rabina? Hello?
I'm sorry, I had to put you on mute. A partnership work-wise or? I'm always thinking, me and my friends are always coming up with, business ideas. So, yeah.
Okay, because in your, you got a Two of Diamonds displacement and Two of Diamonds result card in your planetary ruling spread, and then the Ace of Diamonds. That's a lot of business, new work, and work partnership. And then you got an Eight of Spades environment, and that's just really, that's also the power and the will to focus to do work. So it just got a lot of work stuff going on.
For school there is a lot of work because the next 6 months it's my exams coming up in July, so, I have to put a lot of work in to prepare for them, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So I can see that being work.
Okay. All right. Well, okay, I was just curious about that. Well, I'm just saying, so if an opportunity comes up for new, do you have desire to make money in some way? What's going on money-wise? It seems like new ways to make money might be up as well. Just curious.
Well, a friend of mine and I, we've been playing around with some idea, some business ideas. So I'm always thinking about business ideas, but really I'm really focused on school, so I don't really spend a lot of time focusing on, creating a business and, stuff like that. So, I do want to expand my my executive coaching stuff, but I haven't, really taken that on.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So, school is good. You got a lot of clubs. This is a pre-birth year for you. I don't have time to go into what that means, but it's all clubs for direct cards, okay? So that's learning. You've got the 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack, Queen, King, clubs, and all of, and these are in your 7 periods, and then your long range is the 3 of clubs. And the 3 of clubs is a lot of mental ideas. It could be writing a book. There's just a lot of mental ideas going on. So that definitely would be school. And all the other clubs and the other periods all indicate teaching in some way, higher mind in some way, just being able to focus the mind. So, yeah, so this would be a good time for you to really sort of take this year and just knuckle down, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just, yeah.
Just get it done. Because you're going for your PhD, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's my tagline, this year, get it done, because, you know, I only have, like, after I do this, it's just a year left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be a good time to get it done.
Yeah, yeah, that's my, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, because you got a King of Spades in Mars, which is and an Eight of Spades, and those are great. And you got the Eight of Spades environment, so really working. You're going to have a lot of power to focus this year, and it'll be a benefit and a blessing. Okay, so this is definitely a year to focus on get on that goal, and really just sort of knocking out the hardest part of it.
Okay,
and maybe then your last year would just be more easy sailing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, like, some relationship stuff in the background, but I don't see a lot. All your hard cards are underlying cards, you know, and that just means, you know, you might have some pleasure in relationships. You might, like, have pleasure in your friendships. And, you know, you got some Five of Hearts, which is just maybe change a circle of friends, or maybe you'll meet somebody. Have you met anybody?
No, but that's one of my intentions is to, you know, get out and start, you know, dating and, you know, put myself out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this would be a year for you to do that and explore and experiment, but I really don't see anything sticking this year. Like, I see this year is really about you knuckling down with the work, and then the other aspect of it is really value. Like, what do you value? What do you really value? What is it that you really value in your life, and what is it? And that will help you be able to determine, well, what is it you want to create and what kind of partnership you want to create. Because when you know what you really value, what's really, really important to you, then it helps to be able to know, okay, is this person the right person for me or not? You know, is this friend, you know, someone who, you know, is actually in alignment with my life? I mean, so I think it's those two that are going to be going on for you. And you know, go out and meet people and sort of explore and experiment, you know, and see, you know, how you feel with them, and then see, you know, does this person add value? Is this something that I value? The connection I have with this person, is it valuable to me? Is this something I value? Does it bring, you know, more depth to my thinking, more depth to my relationship? Is this an added value, you know? And what is it that I value? And it's not that one value is necessarily better or worse than the other. It's just that we all have things that we value more than others, you know? And when you meet someone who has similar values or value the same thing, then it's actually you have a better chance of the relationship actually growing and you growing together as human beings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's not, you know, but the cards just aren't showing some great love affair this year.
Okay.
But let's see. Next year, you got a Four of Hearts and Venus. That's a marriage card.
Yeah, so my intention this year, it is just to get focused, just to get out there, like, you know, like you said, just to explore and to see what's out there, you know.
So the 145 in Venus, you got in your Six of Clubs spread, you got a Queen of Hearts, and in your other spread, you got a Four of Hearts. Those two indicate marriage more than any other indications of marriage in the card. So I think it's going to be next year, I mean after your next birthday.
Okay.
So this year, so it's cool, you know.
Yeah, perfect. I'll focus on getting my values and what do I want in a partnership, get my comps together, get my schooling together. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, Ravine, I'll talk to you later. Thanks for being in the class. And then lastly we have, okay, is it Renee?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I don't think I've read for you before.
No, I'm totally new.
Oh, okay. All right, Renee. Okay, the way this works is I need your birthday. What's your birthday?
July 26, 1957.
July 26th. I think you're a Leo. I think
yes.
It's Sam Tulloch's birthday. Wait a minute. Yeah, you're a 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. Okay, another club. Now, you're a Leo. So Leo's planetary ruling card is always the same as their birth card because Leos are ruled by the sun.
Right.
And the sun rules the birth card. And so since you're and the planetary ruling card is whatever the ruler is. So the sun, so you'd have a 2 o'clock. So you just say that Leos are a strong like representation of whatever their birth card is. So it's almost like they got a double the same card, right? So I'm going to do your reading, and I'm going to read just from one card. And I could read from what's called the personality card, which is the Queen of Clubs, but I'm just going to read from your 2 o'clock card. And so you were born in 57, so that would make you 53 years old. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I mean, well, tell me what your question is first.
Well, I've just completed my certification in transformational life coaching. I've taken the class, The Feminine Power and Calling in the One, and I'd like to put this all together. I'm also a writer, and I'm just not – it's kind of like I'm right on the precipice of really moving forward, and I'm not sure which direction to put all my energy.
I see. And what are you doing now? Are you working a job now, or is this what you're doing?
No, I'm at home. I've been injured, so I'm on disability, but I went ahead and took these trainings so that I can produce my own income. Just left a church office part-time job for 3 months, so this is my second week being at home and really being able to sink deeply into myself, sink deeply into my work.
Okay, all right.
Good space with that, but it's just, okay, which direction, what do I do? I don't know.
Okay, so you're wanting to know, like, what action to take, like, from where you are right now.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. And when you said you had a couple weeks to just sit with yourself, and when you sat with yourself, what have you felt like? Has any direction, it's sounding like you're not really clear yet.
I'm not exactly clear. One thing that's calling is a women's meditation tea. I live in Half Moon Bay, California, south of San Francisco, and I'm really feeling this calling for as women to have opportunity to sink deeper into ourselves, individually and as a group. So that's really calling, and I feel I would probably, you know, have some clients from the meditation tea that I offer. But I also have this really strong desire to write. I have a screenplay. I have an adult book. I have a children's book that's being illustrated and is almost complete for printing and publishing. So, yeah.
Okay. And so you have – is there any reason why you – would you feel comfortable just doing both, being able to being a writer and also being sort of like someone who is a leader of a group or who can hold a space for other people?
I would be open to that, but I feel like either one could take energy away from the other because I really want to go deeply into whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what is happening.
I see. So you don't feel you could do both well?
I don't. Maybe I can. Maybe that's an old belief. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, it might be something. Like, well, you have a six of clubs long range, and when sixes appear, it's usually a time when we can be, if we're open, we can receive guidance on what we came here to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that would be the first thing I would, you know, look at, just making sure you just stay open to any information, any guidance, any intuitions. Six of Clubs is a very intuitive card, and when that shows up, you know, I mean, you could really, it's a time to really be open to, you know, what your life path is. And I don't think, I believe that we actually can, you know, do more than we think with the mind. And so a lot of times we have to actually be open to receiving information about being guided and being led and what we're capable and able to do.
Right.
Okay. Because And I could tell you just from doing this work I'm doing that writing is a big part of it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you have to be able to formulate your ideas and to communicate those ideas no matter what you're doing.
Exactly.
So I think you actually have a head start that you're a writer and, you know, and you actually put things together and have things that are, you know. Have you been did you say you were waiting for something to be published? Or
my children's book. I've got four more illustrations to go, and it'll be complete and ready for printing and publishing, yes.
Okay, great. So I just think the writing will actually naturally be something that just will enhance whatever you end up doing.
Okay.
Okay. Because it's such a vital part of, I mean, I can tell you from just having to send out emails and just, I mean, just general day-to-day of being a coach or a counselor or anything like that, that's such a vital part of it, okay? So I would just consider looking at it like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so focus on the writing and allow any guidance to come through that, that it will.
Well, I'm not saying focus on it. I'm just saying that, you know, you said that you didn't think you could do both at one time, and I'm just saying that just as a different way to look at it, just know that writing is always going to be a part of whatever you do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So instead of thinking it has to be so separated, you know, write and write about the transformational healing or the transformational going deep, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Write articles about, and that's how people get to know you.
Right.
You know, you can write articles and submit them to certain things online, on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
People read them, and then they see your name.
Okay.
And then that's how you can become, you know, build an audience, or that's how people can become aware of you. So I'm just saying, if you even look at writing, it's just a part of how you actually are going to market yourself or how you're going to just even express yourself so that people know you and people get to know you and understand who you are and what you have to offer.
Okay. The overriding theme of my writing is recovery from religion. So I think that's a very, it's something that a lot of people are looking for. You know, how do they develop their spiritual life coming out of these religious dogmas?
That's a great area. That's a great field, and there are so many people who are looking for that information.
Exactly.
Who are confused? They know that's not where they need to be. It has, but they don't. You know, they're not necessarily wanting to throw out the baby with the bathwater. But so what do they do? So, writing is actually, you know, just a great way to be able to give people that information to begin with. You know.
Yeah.
And that's a great way. I know that a lot of people get their names out there by finding there are things you can look at on the internet. You can Google this, but websites that actually publish articles for free so that and people can you know, when you contribute an article to it and then, you know, it's a way of getting your name out there. So
sure.
You are. So I'm just saying it seems to me like combining the writing, but writing with the writing about what it is, which sounds like what you're really, your passion is about recovering from religion. That's one of your passions. Is that
mm-hmm.
what I just heard? So writing some articles about that, maybe even thinking about if you get articles, putting them in a book. I don't know. I mean, just be open to
okay.
information as to how to do this. And you're only going to get one step at a time. That's the other thing I want to tell you. You're not going to, like, it's not going to come in, oh, you're not going to see the yellow brick road path.
Oh, that's what I was looking for.
No, well, honey, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but you got to get one at a time.
Right.
And when you know that, you relax.
Okay.
And all you need is one at a time. You have to do that one thing first.
Okay.
And then you do that, and then the next step will be revealed, okay? And as you do that one thing, you actually grow in yourself. You become more current with yourself, and you go, oh, wow, okay, I did that. Wow, I was able to. You know, you grow into, it's like you have to gradually grow into this person that's going to be helping all these people. It doesn't just happen overnight. You understand? I mean, we would like it to happen overnight, but I have seen the wisdom in it being one step at a time. It's because you actually grow to be able to hold a space for the people that you can handle.
I understand.
Start with one, and then maybe three, and then five, and then at some point, then it becomes exponential. But it's like through the journey of that, you have like expanded yourself and expanded your energy field to be able to serve that level of people.
Mm-hmm.
No, sometimes it's good to watch performers or to see their life story, because you can see, and sometimes it'll seem as if they just had stardom overnight, but really these people, it's been a step-by-step process,
yeah,
years in the making, because you have to grow into it, you know. See, we think things from our minds, but it's, what is in our minds is usually not the way it actually is experienced, and what's actually the way it's experienced is the way that the bigger part of us is sort of guiding our life, and it's often, you know, telling us to stop, slow down, open up, and go this way. Our minds are telling us to go this way, and the bigger part is saying go this way, but we have to stop in order to really hear that and trust the path and trust the unfolding. A lot of times the way that bigger self is directing us, it seems from the mind's point of view that that's not the right way, but really you'll see in the end it really was the shortest route.
Mm-hmm.
Because it knows all the things that we need in order to be in that place, and what we need, how we need to develop, how we need to grow. Okay, so it sounds like your heart is really in this, you know, this transformation, this life coaching or this recovering from religion. And I always say follow your joy.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong following your joy. It's just, you just have to put one step in front of the other and just do the most joyful thing of all the things you have to do. And that this is the way you do it. So, okay, today. You think, okay, of all the things you have to do in this moment, well, in this moment, of all the options that I have that I could take action on, which one do I feel the most passion about taking action on? And it could be washing the dishes. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
What you need to know is you feel, okay, what is the thing that I feel like doing in this? And you do that thing, okay? And then when that's done, and then, okay, here you are. Okay, so now what am I going to do? Okay, so of all the options that I have, which one excites me the most? And then you do that thing. Even if it seems like it's not connected to writing or connected to healing, you do that thing. And if you just keep living like that, you will see, you will end up in the place that you've always dreamed of being. And it's like that. It's like that's life. We make it more complicated. It's that simple. But if you follow the thing that excites you the most, it will actually take you, it's actually the shortest route to you being where you want to be.
Cool.
Okay, so that's how I would say navigate that now with the place that you're in right now, and to see where that takes you, and just be open to receiving, you know, nudges and urges, and you know, you'll feel an impulse, you know, I'm gonna go over here, I'm gonna call this person, you'll be open, and then to, you know, these impulses that are wanting to move through you.
Well, one impulse was, after this past calling in the one class, I went to the coaches or people who completed the program, and there was your name. And something just said, send her an email, and that's how I got connected here this morning. So, yeah, it was just follow that impulse. Okay.
Okay, that's it. If you live like that, if you remember, and then you know, remember what I talked about earlier, just stopping and breathing and becoming aware that this is a mystery too, you know what I mean? And the mind wants to know ahead of time what's going to happen, and there's no way to. And when we begin to relax, and when the mind begins to see that, oh yeah, well, when I relax, some good things happen, you know? And then it will begin to relax more and more. But, yes, you follow an impulse, and look what happened. And I hope this has been, you know, a supportive experience for you. And you just keep following those impulses and doing the thing that feels the most exciting to you.
Yes, thank you so much. Very supportive.
You're very welcome. Okay, so you can always call back again. I think we're over time, so I'm going to end the class now. And it was a pleasure, and I'll work with you, give you a reading, and I'm so glad you followed your impulse, okay? It was really wonderful for me. So to everyone else, thank you so much for joining me in the class. It was a fun first class of 2011, and I will be back here next week because it's the fourth Tuesday, so I'll be here a week from today, same time, 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. And I wish everyone a wonderful day and blessings to this beautiful year of 2011. So goodbye, everybody.
Aye.
Aye.